Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. Welcome to the seventh part of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler and I'm live on air, and I welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they relate to the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments, and any suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Find my email address and write to me. Mind Matters Online is one word. I will reply within 48 hours. On page 4 of my website, you will find recordings of all my radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. When I opened my talk last week, I was pleasantly surprised to be able to tell you that there were no gremlins in the system and that you could call in. You may remember that about halfway through the show, something happened that completely threw me, and I was not even sure whether I was still on air. What had happened was some high-pitched metallic noise in my headphones and a voice telling me that I was trying to call into a live show. At the same time, a pop-up appeared on my screen asking me if I would want to continue with the show or exit. Obviously, I chose to continue. This has happened twice in very, very quick succession. The following day, I was surprised to learn that apparently three people tried to call in without me noticing it. The callers should have appeared on my studio screen, but they didn't. So, callers, should you listen to this show again, please accept my apologies for this failure. There was nothing I could have done about it. These things are way beyond my control. Should something similar happen again during this show or any future show, please contact me by email. You see, communicating with you is very important to me. How else could I learn what you think or feel about this program? How else could I answer your questions? How else could I respond to your suggestions? So please go to my website, mindmattersonline.info, and get in touch with me. There's another small favor I want to ask of all of you. If you have a Facebook account, go to the website blogtalkradio.com and click on the Connect Using Facebook button at the top of the page and follow the prompts. This should share my show with your Facebook network. Last week I talked about the language of persuasion and began also to talk about body language, in particular about aggressive body language. I will continue with it, and I begin with one of the most important body languages for us, the assertive body language. Assertiveness is about acting in a, let's call it, adult manner, asserting your rights without aggression and without being submissive. Assertive body language is not jerky and tense, nor is it held still under close control. It moves at a steady rate, indicating that the person is feeling relatively relaxed. Even when they are speaking passionately, the movement is still smooth and under control. A smooth voice is natural and even. It goes up and down in time with the words, matching the expression. The sound is warm, friendly, and melodious. Vocal volumes go up and down evenly, not suddenly becoming loud or quiet. When the person looks around, they do so in steady sweeps. They do not have eyes that dart about furtively, nor do they stare, nor are they downcast. A balanced body is upright and relaxed. Bones rest on one another, held in place by gravity, rather than leaning outward and hence having to be held together with muscular strength. Both sides of the body are used, hence both hands may be used together or in balanced sequence. A balanced voice does not go to extremes. It is not jagged, nor is it monotonous. It goes up and down in a natural way that sounds honest and persuasive. When we assert something, we act as if it is true. Feet are firmly planted, flat on the floor, including when sitting, typically slightly apart to provide a firm base. Gestures are used to emphasize truth, although not in exaggerated way. Hence, the head nods, outstretched forearms bounce downwards with the point that we make, and the body may lean slightly forward. There is also firmness in response where the other person may attempt to dominate or avoid the point. Gentle touching may be used as encouragement and steady eye contact used to show determination. Rejection of things not wanted is done steadily and without the escalation of aggression, nor with the weakness of a passive position. Aggression is avoided, particularly in facial expression, which are gently and concerned, yet show a determination to see things through. The body language is open, showing no threat and fearlessly inviting response. There are no barriers across the body. Arms hang down or held outwards. Hands are often palms up rather than fists or placating palms down. Eye contact is regular and appropriate. There is neither aggressive staring at the other person, nor are eyes submissively downcast. There is no hiding of the face or body, and barriers are removed. Openness includes smiling, accepting, and listening. The assertive person is attentive and checks that they have understood what the other person has said. They also respond to the concerns of others, showing this in their body language. The next most important body language is the attentive body language. This is the language that I used most often in my work as a psychotherapist. When you are in conversation or otherwise attending to what others are saying or doing, your body sends signals to the other person as to how interested you really are. Attentive body language sends a strong signal of real and deep interest that is both flattering and likely to result in reciprocal attention. It was said that if you met with the English 19th century politician William Gladstone, you would come away thinking that he was the most intelligent and the witty person in the country. If, however, you met his peer Benjamin Disraeli, then you would come away thinking that you were the most intelligent and witty person. Disraeli, it would seem, was somewhat more skilled at paying attention. A person who is attentive is first of all listening. This can be of varying intensity, though attentive listening is deep and interested. I talked about the importance of active listening before and that it is at least as important in communication as speaking. For the sake of those listeners who heard it already, I'm not going to repeat it here. There are many competing stimuli that demand our attention. If a person ignores distraction, from phone calls to other people interrupting, then they send strong and flattering signals that say, I am interested in you. Body movement often betrays distracting thoughts and feelings. When the listener is largely still, the implication is of forgetting everything else except the other person, with not even internal dialogue being allowed to distract. When I am interested in you and what you have to say, I will lean slightly towards you, perhaps to hear everything you have to say. An attentive head may be tilted slightly forward. It also may show curiosity when tilted to the side. Although, be careful with that, this may also indicate uncertainty. An attentive person looks at the other person without taking their gaze away. They will blink less, almost for fear of missing something. Concentration may also be shown in the forehead, as the eyebrows are brought together as the listener seeks to hear and understand the other person. An attentive person seeks not just to hear, but to be ready to listen to everything the other person has to say. When you want to hear more from the other person, you are patient, listening until they have finished speaking and not butting in with your views. Even when you have something to say or when they pause, you still patiently seek full understanding of them and give them space in which to complete what they have to say. Open body language shows that you are not feeling defensive and are mentally open to what they have to say, and hence not close to their thoughts either. I'm going to talk about open body language in a minute. Nodding shows agreement and also encourages the other person to keep talking. Fast nodding may show impatience, however, whilst a slower nod indicates understanding and approval. When you reflect the other person back to them, they feel affirmed and that you are aligned with them. Reflecting activities range from matching body language to paraphrasing what they say. Now about open body language. A significant cluster of body movements are all about being open. This is sometimes misinterpreted solely as indicating being relaxed and not tense. Remember that perhaps the most significant part of being open or close is the act of opening or closing. When you open or close, you are signaling a change in the way you are thinking or feeling, which is likely to be in response to what the other person has said or done. The open stance has arms and legs not crossed in any way. They may also be moving in various ways. Arms are not crossed and may be animated and moving in synchronization with what is being said or held wide. Palms are also relaxed and may be quite expressive, for example, appearing to hold things and form more detailed shapes. Open hands show that nothing is being concealed. Open legs are not crossed. Often they are parallel. They may even be stretched and stretched apart, but make this slightly apart, because showing your crotch can be seen as a signal of aggression, in particular if you're male. The feet are of interest in open legs and may point forward or to the side or at something or someone of interest. The head may be directed solely towards the other person or maybe looking around. Eye contact is relaxed and prolonged. Clothing is likely to hang loosely, and actions to loosen clothing may take place, such as removing a jacket or unbuttoning a collar. There can be several reasons for open body language. In particular, look for the transition when the body opens and the triggers that may have caused this change. When arms are rounded and palms are sideways, the person may be offering a mock hug, showing that they care for the other person. Gestures may be slower and symbolize gentleness. And finally, the open body may simply be the body at rest, relaxed, and comfortable. I am live on air, and I welcome your calls with questions and comments, provided they concern the subject matter, and provided, of course, you can get through to me. If you don't, or if you have questions of any kind or comments to make, go to my website and find my email address. I will reply within 48 hours as usual. My website is http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. Before I continue talking about body language, let me talk about something else, which had been the subject of the few email inquiries. The inquiries were, what has the power of persuasion, that is, verbal language and body language, to do with controlling your brain in order to control our lives? This is a very good question, and I'm very grateful for it. The short answer to the question is that it has a lot to do with it. Let me explain. In the previous series, Change the Way You Think and Change Your Life, I spoke about self-confidence, motivation, determination, and so on. The current series began with personal responsibility and communication. Whatever theme I addressed, whether it was self-confidence or communication skills or whatever else, I want those of you who really want the full benefit of what I'm talking about, I want you not only to know about these things, but I want you to internalize everything, make it your own. In other words, you do not use the tools I was talking about to motivate yourself whenever you need to be motivated, or recall your newly acquired communication skills just before you go into important negotiations. I want you to have permanent high levels of self-confidence. I want you to be motivated as a matter of course. I want you to communicate effectively whenever you are in the presence of another person, or even when you have your internal dialogues. I want you to have the disposition of someone who is successful. I want you to have the disposition of a winner. I want you to display this disposition even before you are successful. Once you have developed your success consciousness, real success will follow soon. However, in order to unleash the full potential of your powers, you have to live these powers. You live them by your words, your posture, and by your actions. And you want to live them constantly. What do you think is going to happen when you put yourself into a state of mind of self-confidence and being in control, not only every now and then, but constantly, always? I can tell you what's going to happen. After a very short period of time, your brain will quite naturally accept that you are confident and in control. And once your brain accepted this, you indeed are confident and in control. The same is going to happen when your brain gets used to your changed thought patterns, your changed use of verbal and body language, and whatever else you change in your behavior in order to change your life. That's why everything I'm talking about is so important for your personal development and for the life-changing experience I'm talking about. It is important for you to know that you have the power of choice. This is a real power, your power of choice. You can choose, and choose you do, consciously or subconsciously, intentionally or by default. You choose. In fact, you make lots of choices. You may love this power or hate it. You may delight in it or seek to avoid it. Yet, this power is yours. And if you handle it right, you will be more fully able to take charge of your life and be the architect of your future. Some years ago, I began using the term choice point. When I worked with people, I might say, you are now at choice point about what you want to do. So, what will it be? Later, when I found this phrase several times in Abraham Maslow's writing, I began to realize just how powerful this phrase is, and especially the impact it has when it is brought to a person's attention. You are now at choice point. What is the power of choice? How can you more fully experience this power in your life? The power of choice begins with your four fundamental powers of personality, because you have the power to choose what to think, what to believe, to remember, and imagine. And when you make those choices, you are exercising the power to choose the emotions that you want to give to yourself. Your power of choice includes the words that you choose to use and the behaviors you choose to engage in. So, how is it then that so many people talk and act and feel and think that they have no choice? It goes like that. I have to do this or that. I have no choice. And yet, they do have choice. Just because there may be a consequence to a certain way of thinking, feeling, speaking, and acting does not mean that you have no choice. It means that you are choosing to not even consider that alternative. Sure, you can stand up to your boss who may be doing something unethical or even illegal. You might say then, but then I may get fired. Yes. That may be the price you would pay for the courage to speak up. So, what is your choice? What will you do? Where there is a form of helplessness, hopelessness, or playing the victim, there is a human being choosing these responses. And that human being is more than likely also choosing to not know that he is so choosing. By keeping oneself blind and unaware, the choice seems to belong to others, to the world, to the markets, to the government, to external influences, and whatever other forces. In my practice, I've heard many times words to the effect of, I could never imagine even thinking of doing that. I'm just not the kind of person who could ever go there. My reply? So, you are choosing to not make a movie in your mind about doing that. Is that what you are saying? And then the other one. Well, no, not really. You see, I can't imagine it. I am not that kind of person. And me again. So, that's your choice. So, you are choosing not to imagine it. And you are choosing to not identify yourself in a new way so that you become the kind of person who would do it. The other one, it's not about choice, it's about inability. Me again? So, you are choosing to frame it as inability rather than choice. Well, that's okay, it's your life, and you can do whatever you want. And then the other one, but you don't understand. I can't even imagine being that way. And me, that's a good one. I had not thought about that choice, to choose to be a different kind of human being, one that eliminates the choice. So your choice is to think of yourself and to find yourself as a choiceless human being. How very interesting. I'd like to report that there was always an immediate eureka moment, that the heavens opened, that the blinders fell off their eyes, that they suddenly claimed their power of choice. Alas, it did not always happen that way. Sometimes it did, and sometimes it did not. But sometimes people came to the following session and reported that they didn't sleep very well that night, and that I had bothered them with that disturbing conversation. And that's good too. Give me a second, I have to have a sip to drink. My throat is getting dry. Back again. The power of choice is the power to decide about direction. What direction do you want to go? What direction would you like to send your brain? What would you like to believe? What frame of mind would you like to live from? What kind of language would you like to use in framing problems, solutions, innovations? The power of choice is also the very power by which you truly become the author of your life. And of course, as you become the author of your life, you develop your own internal authority. You are the one in charge of writing the script and carrying out the story. You are the author. So, what script are you writing and delivering? Here's to your power of choice. Make it a good one. I am live on air, and I still welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they concern the theme I'm talking about. However, if you can't get through or if a gremlin appears again in our system, please go to my website, http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address. Contact me with all your questions, comments and suggestions, and I will reply as usual within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of my previous radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. I think we have a caller on the line. Let me get hold of him. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello there. You got to be a fortune, future teller. You got to be. How do you know that it's him and not her, Otto? How do you know that it's him and not her?
That's a very good one.
You see, Are you a psychic?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just, maybe I am. That's a new one.
Yeah, that's, you know, they seem to, psychics, they would tell you basically, which, you know, I don't want to put down every psychic in the world, that they can, by choice, they can do anything there. That's another wonderful thing, that by choice we can see the future, by choice we can talk to the past lives and on and so forth. Anyway, that's a good subject you have. I just want to add that my name is Andreas. The accent you hear is a Greek accent. I'm Greek. So I hear a nice little accent on you. You got to be either from Switzerland or from Germany, one of the two. But, but I'm just guessing, playing the psychic too. You know, there is, in the inspirational world, we better believe that we are in charge of our lives. You know, our ego needs it. If we're not in charge, who is it? But there is a lot of programs, subconscious programs that run a lot of times, and I don't want to turn it into a scientific kind of deep, long, philosophical stuff, but it is a balance where the ego and the choice maker have to introduce a sense of, I think somewhere problems where people run into empowering their lives is, maybe I'm wrong, it is where we are more than a choice. We are a blend of our choices as well as not subconscious drives, but our interactions with everything around of us. And the ego wants to think that we only choose stuff. And it's okay. We choose stuff, but also we absorb the environment, the colors. It's kind of pathetic excuse. It's kind of pathetic. The ego doesn't want to hear it. But our friends, the environment, and on and so forth, scientists will tell you the opposite. Like, I love to think that I'm a choice. You love to think that you're a choice.
Yes, I do.
Scientists will tell you the very opposite. Scientists will tell you, like, you are a result of your other stuff, not only your choices, but the environment, you know, which is the very opposite thing from choice.
But no, not quite, not quite. You react to the environment. You react to the environment.
Correct.
And it's your choice how you react to the environment.
Very well said. You're right. Absolutely. And I mean, but in order to do that, you're right. We have to realize that the environment makes a difference. The culture makes difference. The ecosystem makes difference. Our friends make difference. The weather makes difference. But because the conscious observer cannot consciously make all these choices at once, is a good thing to have the humility to say, yes, we control our destiny by choice, but also mm-hmm. our lives is a relationship of interface with a lot of things around of us. You're right. You have to choose.
Of course, it is a relationship. Absolutely. You're 100% right there. But it's, again, it's your choice what you make with these relationships, how you react to the relationships, how you interact with them, with whatever comes from the environment, in the widest possible sense. It could be family, neighbors, it could be nature, it could be anything really. But it's always your choice how to react to it. You see?
Yeah, well, we better believe it, because if we don't, it's peripathetic. I mean, we have to, I am with you. I totally believe, but no, I don't like people totally, because I don't believe that anything is one way. I think everything is a duality. So for me, I would say that subconscious programs happen. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that, okay?
Okay.
And, I write like you. I give workshops and on and so forth. I have developed programs and call alpha pacing. I also have my little radio show that I mumble too much, but my English is not as good as yours. But
thank you.
But
I don't believe it.
anyway, you were very articulate and soothing and it's wonderful. But here's what I'm saying: sometimes we make a choice to be happy, choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But even the choice been made, there are some, because none of us wants to be depressed. None of us wants to be upset at times. None of us, but we still are at times. So there are programs that sometimes, despite our wishes, despite our choices, despite a lot of things, good or bad things are happening on times. What I'm saying is not motivational. You can never make money selling that in a book, in a Barnes & Noble, okay? But what I'm trying to say that, yes, we are choices, but also we are co-influenced. Our subconscious minds have, for good or bad, most programs that run into subconscious are beautiful, but a lot of times our choices, our intent is always good, but we are human also. We have those subconscious programs. We are like, that they're not perfect. And it's okay. It's okay. But I'm just trying to say, I'm confusing the message, and people don't like confusion. But, I'm just doing it for conversation's sake. I'm just doing for just to throw something at you. I don't know. Yeah. I confuse you totally, my friend. But you are a great speaker, and
thank you.
I was listening to you a few times, and you have something nice to say. And
thank you.
Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Austria, so not from Germany,
Austria,
not from Switzerland,
exactly.
But from Austria originally.
Is not much difference. Like saying, no. I'm not Greek, but I'm Turkish. Something like, not really, but very close. The accents are the same language. Same language. Anyway, go on with your show. Exactly. We better believe that we're choice. We are in control of our lives, and no doubt about it. But a lot of times, we have to also to blend that with a humility that we are relationship in the same time. Yes, the final choice, we're in relationship with everything around of us, and we affecting the world as being infected in the same time. We are co-creators in a lot of ways. But in many ways, we're being co-created. But you're right, the choice is positive choices bring mostly positive outcomes. I want to thank you for the gift of your attention, my friend.
Thank you.
And I will
calling.
Be listening to you in the future.
Thank
be
you
well,
for
my
calling.
Friend.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you. I'm listening to you. I'm enjoying you very much. Take care. Be well, Otto. Be well,
you
man.
You too. Bye. Right. That's one interesting call. Before that came, and before the reminder of my website, I told you to make a good choice because, you see, you can control your destiny. Quite interesting because the call that we had just earlier on was about that, wasn't it? You can control your destiny. Do you feel stuck or limited? or at the mercy of karma, fate, or predestination, well, your worries are over. There's an answer just for you, and I provide it. The idea of karma, fate, or some kind of preordained destiny has been around for thousands of years in every culture, and there are clues as to what these concepts mean. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, says the Bible. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others, says Confucius. And even these days we have sayings like, what goes around comes around. With these ideas so ingrained in us humans, no wonder they hold so much sway. Whether a person believes in karma or fate, or just that they are at the mercy of events in the world, they raise some interesting philosophical questions and some very interesting effects and responses in our lives. These are some of the typical statements. The person whom I would call the cruiser says, there's nothing I can do, so I'll just go with the flow. Everything will be okay, I guess. This is an optimistic view, but gives away control and responsibility. This kind of person is happy enough to just cruise through life, but never really achieves anything or makes much of an impact on the world or on other people. The permanent loser says, there's nothing I can do to change anything, so why bother trying? Well, that's rather pessimistic, wouldn't you say? Never achieves anything, this kind of person. This kind of person is always complaining and blaming others, and he refuses or is afraid of responsibility. The victim says, what I do has an effect? Oh no! And now you can fill in the blank with a load of negative what-ifs and consequences. This is pessimistic. This kind of person is often meek and scared of doing anything. They will not take risks or get out of their zones of familiarity, also misnamed comfort zone. In the extreme, they can develop conditions such as paranoia and social phobias. The victor would say, what I do has an effect. Wow, I can achieve anything. And here's the mindset of someone who is aware of the control they have over their own destiny, who takes full responsibility for their successes and their mistakes, who relishes the thought of getting out of their zone of familiarity. But even though they might have this amazing mindset, some of these people still never do anything about it. They never actualize the fullest potential. It's only those who think this way and take action who really live their visions. Talk to most people and they'll fit somewhere within these general categories. Where do you fit? But none of these responses are from a point of an understanding what this karma, destiny, or fate thing actually is. Now, because of the evolution of human beings, whether you believe in the idea or not, it will have an effect. So what is it? From my particular angle to understand karma or fate, I look towards systems. To understand destiny, I look at intentionality. Everything we do is a result of what we think and feel about the world, our lives and actions. Everything good you have right now is the result of all your previous experiences, choices and actions, both good and bad. And it's the same for all of the bad stuff you experience right now. Let's break this down. Say, I do something bad to someone. They get upset or angry or resentful or whatever in their thinking and feeling about me. They may tell others bad things about me. So these others are systemically affected too, or do or not do something to hurt or help me in future. The whole thing is systemic, or put simply, what goes around comes around. But there's more. Given my upbringing in society I live in, I will hold in my mind ideas about what is considered good or bad, and so I may have feelings of insecurity or guilt about what I have done. I may unconsciously believe that I don't deserve to have nice things happen to me. So when things go wrong, I focus on them and exaggerate them. I feel bad about me, and I may divert these feelings by blaming myself for everything. So the whole thing becomes a negative, self-fulfilling prophecy in my life, because beliefs are commands to the nervous system. By the way, if this fundamental awareness of good and bad is missing in a person, the technical term is psychopath. On the other hand, if I do something nice, kind, or helpful, people say nice things to others about me. They are willing and happy to return the favor or help me out. But more importantly, I feel good that I have helped someone, made them happy. I think of myself as a nice person. I feel empowered. I feel I have made a positive difference in the world. I feel I deserve good things in my life. And so I focus on them. And all of this becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It is your choice, driven by your highest intentions. And whatever you choose, we know it's systemic, because we hear comments in life about such scenarios like, well, it was bound to happen. We all saw it coming. And these comments, in turn, feed the systemic nature of a person's future karma. And incidentally, good or bad are purely subjective terms. On top of all this, we need to accept stuff goes wrong, just because we cannot be responsible for what other people do. And we need to have the resilience to carry on no matter what setbacks occur, to have the focus and the inner strength to win. So, what key elements do we notice are missing in those who are at the mercy of negative karma and fate, and that are present in those who direct their own destiny? In my mind, it is personal power, responsibility, ability to take action to make things real, choice, resilience, self-acceptance, intentionality, and focus. We come slowly to the end of the show. I have to cut it short. I run out of time. Yeah, I've come to the end of this show. Thank you for listening. Please go to my website, http://www.mindmattersonline.info, to find my email address. I welcome all your questions, comments, and suggestions, and I will reply to you within 48 hours. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my shows for you to listen to at your leisure. For now, I leave you with John H. Patterson's wise words. Before you try to convince anyone else, be sure you are convinced. And if you cannot convince yourself, drop the subject. Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Goodbye.